Hello and welcome back to Fertility Matters with me, Jessica Hobbis. This is the show where we talk about all things related to the health space and have a range of experts from the field in. Hope you enjoy. Hello everyone and welcome back to the show. Today with us, we're really lucky to have Claire Doherty, and Claire is an intuitive guide, teacher and transformational coach. She has a background in Western medicine, having trained as a chartered physiotherapist, and she also holds a master's degree and is a nutritional therapist. And her zone of genius is really reading archetypes and supporting her clients to become aware of the unconscious patterns and beliefs that hold them back and contribute to health and life challenges. And these patterns between behaviors and their health outcomes are what we're going to really focus on today and delve into. But firstly, I just want to welcome Claire to the show and hear a little bit about yourself and how you got started in the space.
Oh, well, thanks for having me. It's nice to be here. So it's been quite an interesting journey for me. I guess that I started off my career as a physio. And so I worked, I specialised in musculoskeletal physio. So I saw a lot of people with repetitive injuries and injuries such as chronic back pain and neck pain and frozen shoulders and, you know, lots of physical symptoms. And I began to kind of notice that people came with patterns of symptoms, and they also had certain things going on in their life at the same time. So maybe certain life challenges that they were facing. But I never kind of really read too much into it. I just thought, oh, this is interesting. You know, this person's got back pain and they've lost their job, and that person's got back pain and, you know, they've lost their job, or they've, you know, things like that. And then as I kind of trained more in different areas, it became more and more apparent to me that actually there was something going on. There was this kind of correlation. And at first I thought, oh, it's this correlation between like life events, like this person's lost their job and back pain. But as I trained in nutritional therapy, I began to realize actually it wasn't so much the situation or the event that was correlating. It was more the pattern, the behavioral pattern that the person had. So for example, I see a lot of clients with endometriosis, who have undergone some kind of boundary transgression. So in other words, maybe they are people who have been bullied when they were children, or been somehow they've had their boundaries violated. They haven't been respected in some way. So you could term that as they've been victimized somehow, or they tend to be very giving, sensitive, empathic people who are very, very sensitive, and people can often manipulate them quite easily. So there's kind of patterns that occur that present in our body in certain ways. So, you know, intestinal permeability might be a reflection of somebody that's got leaky boundaries. So they've got leaky boundaries inside and leaky boundaries kind of outside in real life. And so I began to notice this a lot. And my master's was psychology based. And so I went back and decided that I was going to study some more around psychology, and I started to study archetypal psychology and transpersonal psychology, and learned that actually this is a kind of a thing that I was seeing. And then I studied medical intuition, which helped me to delve into this even further. And so that's how I got to kind of be doing what I do. And I kind of bring this into my practice when I'm supporting my clients.
Wow, that's so interesting. And yeah, I've got so many questions from that already. But I think, can you kind of explain just the basics of how these, you kind of mentioned about boundaries being transgressed, and can you kind of explain how these things that we don't necessarily immediately associate with physical health can have this impact on your physical health?
Yeah, so to answer the question about the boundaries being transgressed, so you know, we've got different kinds of boundaries. So we've got physical boundaries, we've got emotional boundaries, mental boundaries, energetic boundaries. So if somebody bullies you, for example, that could be a physical violation because they could be punching you. Or it could be, you know, if you're in a relationship with somebody that's very manipulative, like a narcissist, for example, then you're potentially going to be having your mental and emotional boundaries violated by that other person. And so when we've been victimized, when we've been harmed in some way, and we haven't been able to fully process it. So maybe, for instance, we've been in a relationship and we've had lots of abuse, emotional abuse or mental abuse occurring behind closed doors, and nobody's witnessed it. It becomes very difficult sometimes for other people to either believe us or to understand what's happening to us because they can't see it. And when that happens, we hold a lot of that internally because nobody's there to say, oh, I can see what's happening and I understand that I'm going to help you. And so we can also carry a lot of shame around things like that because we might have some kind of unconscious belief that, we should be able to sort this out for ourselves, or that it's our fault even when it's not. And so when this happens and we're carrying all these different kind of beliefs and emotions that aren't supporting us, our body will always be trying to communicate with us. And so it does that through symptoms. That's how I see, symptoms occurring, is it's that our body is trying to redirect us. So it's not our fault. We're not, I'm not saying that it's our fault that we get symptoms, because we all suffer from different, illness in different forms throughout our life. I'm not saying that at all, but I'm saying that I see them as a kind of a guiding system. And if we follow them, there's something underneath that needs to be supported or needs to be held.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, our bodies is always are always great at telling us when they like something or don't like something. And it's, I think often it's quite easy to normalize these symptoms, isn't it? And really, but I think you do great work in connecting those behavioral patterns to the health conditions and the symptoms that are emerging from them. But what, so say if someone, how do you kind of find the root cause of that? So how do you kind of find the typical behavioral patterns or something like that to really connect these symptoms? Because it, say if someone was to come with you and say, oh, I'm getting headaches all the time, for example, how do you kind of trace that back and work to discover
That's really
the root cause of
interesting.
that?
There's lots of different ways that you can do it. So I personally, I read somebody's energy. So I look at the metaphysical causes. So if somebody books in from a session with me and they say my main symptom is headaches, already I'm thinking, okay, well, headaches could be overthinking, it could be, worrying a lot, it could be X, Y, or Z. And so I'm already thinking different things. But then when I have a session with someone and I start to connect with their energy, I start to get information. And you get information all the time when you're interacting with someone and you're talking with someone. So you can pick up quite quickly why somebody has these symptoms. So, for example, if you're having lots and lots of headaches, it could be that you're worrying a lot about something. It could be that you're very ungrounded and that you're not actually in your body, and that you're kind of in your head all the time. So there's different reasons. There's no recipe book. So it's not always like, well, a headache is always this, and a sore throat is always that. But the way to pick up on it is basically by connecting with somebody's energy and seeing what comes through.
That's really interesting. And it's so I guess you must be an expert at kind of reading people and guessing their situation as well from your sessions. How long do you think it normally takes you to kind of delve into someone's energy and their behavioral patterns? Because it's often quite hard, I think, when people may not be as open with you immediately. So how do you kind of get people to break down those barriers and really access that information that you kind of need to solve the issue?
A great question. So first of all, I always have to have somebody's permission to connect with their energy, and is it okay if we do this work? And the person has to agree to that and be willing. And so sometimes people are guarded. That's human nature. We're all vulnerable, and we all have things that we don't want other people to see. I can't actually ever connect to somebody and see something that I'm not supposed to see. It doesn't work like that. So I could never see anything that I'm not supposed to see, or pick up on anything that the other person doesn't want me to. But sometimes people will guard a lot to the extent that it makes it very difficult. And in which case, then we maybe just turn it into more of a conversation about their symptoms. And from that, I can still oftentimes pick up what's going on around symptoms. So a lot of it depends on the relationship with the client and what they want and how open they are. But it does, it does degree, it does require a certain amount of openness. But within that, there's never any kind of like re-traumatizing. So, we never say to somebody, oh, well, take me back to this point in your life when everything was happening and describe it. There's none of that. So it's not reliving any horrible situations.
It's about working with what you've given, which I think is
Yeah.
that's definitely a positive way to deal with things as well.
The station that makes you feel good.
Delightful news, air travelers. Going in and out of airports without getting sick can be challenging. Time to take charge of the air you breathe with Nasal Guard. Nasal Guard topical gel defends by blocking harmful airborne particles and viruses. Try Nasal Guard for air travelers today. Visit Amazon or nasalguard.co.uk to learn more about Nasal Guard spray and gel products. Again, that's nasalguard.co.uk.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden, Ant and Deck, fish and chips, mum and dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
When you vacation with Norwegian Cruise Line, every day is a new day. Get a taste for Barcelona, then savor incredible dining options back on board one day. Connect to ancient history in Athens, and then disconnect completely in our spa another day. Wherever the sea breeze takes you, come aboard and experience a different tomorrow with NCL. Visit ncl.com, call your travel agent, or call 0333-336-1472. Norwegian Cruise Line, Ships Registry, the Bahamas and USA.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Could you give me an example of a behavioral pattern that shows up as a health condition?
So I can give an impression my own an example of me, actually. That's probably easier. So I developed thyroid issues and I developed gut issues. I was training for the World Ironman Championships, and I felt like I wasn't good enough, and I felt like a real imposter. So I was having loads of kind of anxiety and gut tightening to begin with, and that then developed into SIBO. And I then developed a thyroid issue, because rather than actually listening to my body and going, oh, actually, I've now got digestive issues, maybe I should, pull back a little bit and rest, I kept pushing. And so I was pushing and pushing and pushing against that and pushing my body. So in the end, my thyroid began to become unbalanced, and I developed symptoms of hypothyroidism. And if you think about that, when you've got a hypothyroid, when you've got hypothyroidism, your energy is reduced. You feel really tired. You feel really fatigued.
Yeah.
And actually, that was my body saying, well, you're not stopping. You've ignored all the gut symptoms that you've got. You're, feeling like you're not good enough. And instead of working on that and stepping back and slowing down, You're pushing, so I'm going to slow you down by, reducing the amount of energy that you've got available to you. And it wasn't until afterwards that I actually sat back. It's very difficult when it's happening to yourself, I think. I kind of went, oh, it was so obvious. Why didn't I kind of see all this? So, yeah.
That's really interesting. I think, yeah, I completely agree. It's very hard to kind of self-reflect when you're kind of in that situation. But I guess you see different behavioral patterns all the time. But encourage that self-reflection almost. Like, how do you think people? What are your tips for people to try and help recognize that in themselves?
So I normally encourage my clients to spend 5 minutes every day just sitting and doing a really simple body scan. So that might be starting at their feet and thinking about how their feet feel. So can they feel their feet on the floor? Do their feet, does the weight feel even? Do their socks or shoes or whatever feel the same on each foot? Is there a difference? Can the, is one leg turned out a little bit more to the other? So I start them off like going through the physical sensations of their body. And then I get them to notice any emotional symptoms they might be having. So have they got anywhere that they really don't want to take their attention to? And why might that be? And have they got any areas where they're feeling an emotion? So, if they're feeling tightness in their gut, what happens if they try and kind of imagine what's underneath that? Is there something connected to that tightness? So maybe there is anxiety, or they do feel scared, or they feel excited, or they feel, whatever it is. So it's a progression of starting off really simply and just noticing your body physically, and then going into any sensation that you feel, and is there an emotion attached to there? And where's that emotion coming from? So, yeah, that's how I normally encourage people to start.
That's really useful, and I think that completely mirrors what you said before in that fact that we often know what's the issue is with our body, or our body is telling us, but I think sometimes you just need guidance and that reassurance to understand what your body is actually trying to tell you. But, yeah, I think that's really, really key. And you kind of mentioned endometriosis patients and people that you see a lot with endometriosis. What other kind of people do you help, and how else do you kind of help them?
I see all sorts, actually. I don't have a niche. So my niche is really what I do rather than the people that I see. So I see people who struggle with confidence, with being visible. I see people who are all sorts of people with different life challenges. So relationship issues. I also do couples work. And then people just come to me with health issues. So people might come to me with, I feel really tired. I've got this, going on, or that going on. I've got digestive issues. So I'll look at the metaphysical reasons as well as looking at them from an NT nutritional therapy perspective as well, and kind of try and merge that together so that I'm getting a really holistic look at what's going on with this person in front of me.
That's really useful as well, I think. And particularly when you kind of work with them to create a plan, I think that combination of lifestyle, behavior, and diet, etc., I think definitely contributes to making those sustainable changes. Why else do you think it's important to understand how these behaviors affect our health and what we can do about it in terms of like supporting our health?
I just think it's just another layer and a deeper layer. And sometimes we can help to support somebody that's unwell or that's got a symptom, and they might get some kind of improvement for the short term, but then their symptoms can come back, they can slip back. And that's because if they've got a pattern that's actually underlying and driving that behavior, unless they become consciously aware of that and change it, then their symptoms aren't going to improve long term. I mean, the easiest way to explain that is probably with a health related behavior. So something like, if you're, if you're not exercising at all and you want to become fitter, if you start exercising, you do couch to 5K, well, that's brilliant. But then if you stop once you've got to 5K and you don't actually get off the couch again, you're going to lose your fitness. And so it's the same with all of our patterns, even the ones that aren't health related. So if we're a people pleaser and we're an overgiver and we're giving our energy out all the time to other people, unless we actually become aware of that and learn to say no and conserve our energy, that's not going to change. And that's a big one for people who experience fatigue, for example. So it becomes, I think it's important from that perspective. I think it just helps people to maintain the changes that they might get by making, you know, putting those initial steps in place.
Yeah, definitely. And I think that even draws us back to what we spoke about with boundaries. How do you kind of help people establish their boundaries and set what's right for them in terms of energy? Because, I mean, yeah, it's hard to kind of say if someone's a people pleaser, for example. How do you kind of help people work through that?
So first of all, it's about getting people to realise that they're doing that and that that is having an effect on them. Because if they don't realise they're doing that, then they can't change it. And if they realise they're doing it, but they don't understand how it's affecting them, they won't change it either. So they've got to be aware of that, and they've got to be kind of going, oh, yes, I can see how that, you know, that's affecting me. And then it's just about doing some really small steps that feel comfortable. So it's never about getting someone to do something that feels uncomfortable. So a lot of people will struggle to say no, or will struggle to put a boundary in place where there hasn't been one before. So it's helping to guide people in a very kind of gentle way, starting really small to work up to something. And again, it depends on the situation. But, you know, a lot of people have this fear of boundaries because they see them as being confrontational or being rude. So actually, we might have to do some work around their beliefs, like the belief that it's rude to say no, the belief that you shouldn't think about yourself. So we kind of combine it with, well, you know, why haven't you had any boundaries in the first place? What's driving, you know, what's driving that? Why do you think that you just don't deserve, you know, to put yourself first sometimes? And so it's often a combination of helping somebody to make boundaries combined with looking at their beliefs.
Yeah, that's really important, I think. And yeah, definitely something that I know that a lot of people, I'm sure, struggle with. Even with establishing a boundary and kind of saying no, how do you kind of help people establish when it's maybe not right to say no, or maybe right to say no? I think it can be like a tricky thing to navigate, because some people like say enjoy doing selfless things. So how do you still keep that element of it, but then also still keep the selfish element of it that you're trying to teach? How do you get them to tread that kind of?
Yeah, that's it. That's interesting. So, I mean, I'm not saying that it's wrong to do things for other people at all. I think the balance comes when you're beginning to feel overwhelmed, when you're beginning to feel like you've got no time for yourself, when you're kind of going, oh, I said I'd do this, but I really don't want to. You know, that's a big sign that actually you're doing it, but you don't actually want to. You're not going, oh, I can't wait to help this person, it's going to be really good. So there are always little signs. You know, we start to feel a bit like a martyr. We start maybe to feel a bit resentful. But we find it really difficult to say no. Those are the times that we might need a little bit of help in learning how to actually put a boundary in place, so that we can say no, so that we can have more energy and time for ourselves.
Absolutely. I think that's a really good flag almost for people that maybe are listening and thinking, oh, this could be something that they don't know whether they need to change or not. But I think, the whole feeling of resentment and the kind of joy taken out of it, I think is a really key flag to think that, okay, maybe I need to take a little bit of time for myself. So that's really useful. Thank you. And how else do you think, we've kind of spoken about that as one, how else do you think that people can start to change their behaviours in a sustainable way?
So I think it's really important whenever you're making a change to realise that results and change and progress aren't linear, that they ebb and flow like our energy does, and that it's okay. It's okay if you do something one day and you feel like you've really achieved a lot, and it's okay if you do nothing the next day, and it's okay if you fall backwards again. And the thing, patterns and behaviours are, hardwired patterns are really, really hard to undo because they're unconscious and we do them automatically. You know, like being able to tie your shoelaces while you're talking to somebody on the phone. You're doing two things at once and your brain isn't, you know, necessarily concentrating on tying your shoelaces because it's automatic. And because things are automatic and hardwired, we always slip back to them. So under times of stress and strain, we have a tendency to rebound back to our automatic behaviours. That's completely normal. There's nothing wrong with that. And I think a lot of us put a lot of expectation and pressure on ourselves to get things 100% right and perfect the first time that we try them. But behaviour and health aren't like that. Behaviour and health aren't linear. There'll always be little peaks and troughs along the journey. So I think part of it is being really realistic, setting very, very tiny micro goals for yourself, you know, so rather than, you know, giving up all the sugar all at once forever, you might set a goal of giving up, you know, the chocolate bar 5 times a week and only allowing yourself to have it twice a week to begin with, you know, so that it's actually sustainable and it's actually achievable. Because human nature, we don't like pain and we don't like things that are really, really hard that causes discomfort. So if we set a goal that is too hard and feels unachievable, then we're not going to stick at it, because it just feels insurmountable. It feels like we're never going to get there. So keeping things really simple, keeping things really small and achievable, having lots of self-compassion and knowing that actually we are going to ebb and flow, and that's completely normal, and that's okay.
I completely agreed with all of that. I think that's particularly poignant as we start at the beginning of the year. And I know there's loads of narratives circulating about this. And I think that's really important, particularly what you said about self-kindness. I know there's a quote that goes something along the lines of treat yourself as you would treat your best friend. And I think that that's something that you're not going to, as you kind of mentioned there, you're not going to scream and shout at your best friend and say they're worthless if they have chocolate 2 times a week as opposed to 5 times a week instead of cutting out completely. So I think it's sometimes hard to treat yourself with the same level of respect and kindness that you would treat other people. So I think that's also something that, yeah, really mirrors what you were saying as well. And I think, yeah, that's answered a lot of my main questions. But I was wondering, was there anything that you wanted to mention at all, or anything else that you...
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
If optimising your health and well-being is on your to-do list, then let Revive Active, Ireland's number one supplement brand, help you put back what life takes out. All-in-one comprehensive formulas created to offer you maximum benefit, whatever stage of life you're at, and with a range that supports everything from immunity, energy, cardiovascular health, joints, cognitive function, menopause, and even beauty. We've got you and your family covered. Premium ingredients packed into a powerful daily sachet. Simply mix with water to activate for a flavorful health drink. Perfect at home or on the go. Use code RADIO15 at reviveactive.com by the end of January and get 15% off any of our award-winning supplements. Super supplements for a super you.
Nature's Medicine for Modern Living, a people and plants dialogue hosted by Sophie.Health. At Sophie, we bring together experts and voices who rarely cross paths. Our quest is to illuminate the ancient world of plant medicine and reimagine it for the connected age. Join us to explore new boundaries of digital personalized medicine with deep roots in the natural world, and hear from our community of international pioneers who are validating this new paradigm and improving how we feel, sleep, and cope with daily stresses naturally. Sophie.Health, reconnecting people and plants.
Once upon a time, human slavery was just a fact of life. Right now, animal abuse is often considered normal. In time, it won't be. Animal Aid campaigns peacefully against all forms of animal abuse and promotes cruelty-free living.
Check out animalaid.org.uk. It's time for a kinder world.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
recover?
I don't think so. I think the main thing that I like to help people with is just to really, reflect back to them that their body is always supporting them, even when things aren't balanced and aren't, you know, optimal and maybe working the way that we think that they are. Or that they should be. Your body's always trying to guide you and bring you back to a place of balance. And illness and symptoms, although we are responsible for our health, our illness and symptoms aren't our fault. So, you know, it really upsets me when people come to me and they say, oh, I feel like if I hadn't done this, then, you know, I wouldn't be in this mess, or it's my fault that I'm... And I don't think it is. I don't think that's helpful, because then we kind of go to war with ourselves, and, you know, we create stress hormones that impact our health that aren't helpful for us, and a whole host of other things. So I just like people to, you know, be really kind to themselves and to have some self-compassion and to not be afraid to ask for help either. I think that's really important. A lot of people suffer in silence, and a lot of people can feel very ashamed or embarrassed about having health issues. And I really hope that that changes in the future, because I think that, you know, the way that we all help and support each other is by sharing what's going on.
Yeah, completely agreed. And I think that's such a nice message to finish up on. And I think that's so important for people that are experiencing symptoms, but also particularly important for people that are, say, experiencing chronic conditions, and it's a pain that's not necessarily going to go away anytime soon. So I think that self-love and self-compassion is something that is really going to be really helpful for them.
Yeah, hopefully.
No, that's nice. And at the end of all my questions, I think that's a really lovely note to finish up on. And thank you so much, Claire, for coming on today. And that was really, really insightful, I think, and would help a lot of people.
You're welcome. It's lovely to be here. Thank you.
Now that brings us to the end of the show for this week. I hope you enjoyed listening to Fertility Matters with me, Jessica Hobbis from ScreenMe, and really looking forward to hearing from you guys next week.